You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. Glad to be with you. Breaking news, what it means, why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, big show for you today. Carol Markowitz from the New York Post stops in. We will also check in with the man that wants to be the mayor of New York City. Curtis Sliwa is his name, and he is really on fire about what New York should be doing these days. But we start with the big stories of the day with Carrie Severino. Stay with us.
Binge thinking.
Kevin McCullough.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, grateful to be with you today, as always. And, of course, as we speak with you right this moment. We have not yet received the verdict in Minneapolis, what's happening there. The jury, of course, has been more or less been given the case for a couple of days now. They've been deliberating, lots to consider. And one of the more controversial things that happened yesterday was the judge, aware of what Congresswoman Maxine Waters had told the press the night before, made some public comments. He said things along the lines of, you may, speaking to the defense, you may have grounds for an appeal. She may have given you something by way of this case that you weren't expecting. He also made a public statement about how he wished elected leaders, politicians, would not comment on such things while the case is ongoing. Let's get some perspective on this. She is the president of the Judicial Network, and you can follow her on Twitter at JCN Severino. She has not yet been deplatformed like so many of us were following the election. Carrie, it's always fun to have you with us. Of course, you're the co-author of Justice on Trial. It was, in my opinion, the most authoritative book on the Brett Kavanaugh matter, bar none. But let me ask you quickly, from a legal mindset perspective, as you've watched, like the rest of the nation has, what's been going on in Minneapolis, what did you make of the judge's statements yesterday and some of the things that had happened there within the last 24 hours?
Well, yeah, it's so discouraging to see this type of behavior from a public official. In the case of Representative Waters, we've had her, you know, inciting the crowd, and that's it's worrisome enough in and of itself, the idea that she seems to be fomenting a riot practically. But what the judge pointed out is, if you have this happening in a situation where you've got 12 men and women on a jury trying to decide and trying to do their job to give due process to someone, one of the beautiful things about America is even the worst criminal and the worst crimes, we give them due process. And one of the things that means is you don't have them with this hanging over their head, someone suggesting, well, if you don't do this, the city's going to burn, or if you do this, they shouldn't have threats one way or the other. They have to rule in a certain way.
Carrie, doesn't that add up to jury tampering? Isn't there some sort of line that she crossed here that's just plain illegal?
Well, I think that is the challenge. Obviously, she wasn't speaking person to person to these jurors. But the challenge is, if they're seeing the news and they're obviously living in this city, that they're going to hear her message loud and clear. And I think that's why the judge wanted to caution and say, you know what, in a situation where there has been this kind of statement and suggestion to the jury, you as the defense, they might even move for a mistrial or on appeal, say, you know, this was inappropriate levels of interference with the jury. And then you might have to start all the way over from scratch with a new jury and an attempt to try to get to the bottom of this without being interfered with. We want to be in a system of the rule of law, with where judges and juries are deciding things based on the law and the evidence and the facts in front of them, not based on intimidation from outside forces.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest concern there.
Well, I certainly hope that that's what we get. I did find it surprisingly encouraging that the president took to a camera at a little after noon today and said that he had spoken with the Floyd family and that they want peace and a proper response to whatever the verdict is, regardless. And he kind of emphasized that. I don't often praise this president. I thought that was a good statement to make. I thought it was a good observation on the Floyd family's part. And I hope that it holds true, regardless of whatever the verdict is. Carrie, yeah. The other reason that we booked you today, of course, the president has been talking, speaking of things I'm not pleased with him on, about packing the court. And he kind of formalized a process by instigating a commission a week ago. Your thoughts on this, particularly with your close work with the Judicial Network, watching the Supreme Court and the justice situation across the country. You're involved in a lot of the debates regarding our judges. What do we need to know about what he suggested and why it may not be the best thing for America?
Oh, right. Well, you know, Biden has had a very strange relationship with the idea of court packing. He early on in his career, and you probably have heard quotes of it being thrown around recently, gave a great speech talking about when Franklin Roosevelt tried to pack the court.
Right.
He said this is something that Roosevelt had the authority to do. It's true. It's not in the Constitution, the number of justices. You could change the number of justices by if you could pass a law to do so. But as Joe Biden memorably put it, it was a bonehead idea. It was not a good idea, and that's because it was so blatantly politicized. Again, just like what Maxine Waters is trying to do. None of us in America want the courts to be a political tool. We just want courts to be coming to the correct legal result and factual results here. So he's trying to do exactly what he condemned in FDR, which is to pack the courts to give him a predetermined result. In his case, it would be judges who are going to rule according to how he, you know, saying that the things that he's doing are constitutional, according to basically letting the liberal outcomes in cases be the law rather than what is the constitutional outcome, which might go, you know, one way in one case, one way in the other. By starting a commission to study this, he is basically in one sense, he's giving in to the pressure coming from these deep pockets on the left who funded his campaign, who have been pushing for court packing for years. And again, he was against it. And so now he's starting to give in to them and move to be for it. And this commission is really just a way to cover his tail, to give him an excuse to change his correct position that court packing is a bad idea for the courts, for the country, the same position that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg held, the same position that Justice Breyer currently on the court held, the same position even Bernie Sanders held, for goodness sake. You know, it should be a pretty obviously correct position. He wants that to be cover. And what we're seeing now, the extremity is shocking. Even with this commission that I think was just a fig leaf to give an excuse for him to change his position, has been jumped ahead of by a group of Democratic lawmakers who've gone ahead and just proposed the bill to pack the courts anyway. They're not even waiting for the fig leaf to get going. They're just saying, actually, we're just going to move ahead and do this. That is a really real big concern because, again, it would be so bad for the country. Could kind of trigger this one-way ratchet of just adding each party adding justices when they get into power.
You know, Gary, I seldom disagree with you, but when you said earlier twice in this interview thus far that we all want just outcomes based on the rule of law, I was thinking, you know what, the guys that are putting Biden up to this, that's not what they want. And I think that there's an increasingly greater number of people on the political and sociological and cultural left that don't care about the law. They want outcomes to be met as they want them to be. And this is what we saw in Cuba, in Venezuela, the Maduro courts especially, they began to be tools of the executive branch, not even interested in justice at all. And I hear from so many people around the world that listen to the podcast that say, Kevin, your nation is dangling on the balance here. Like it's this close to being lost. And it's like the American people haven't awakened and realize it yet.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you're right. There are serious forces of people who just want, quote, the right result, you know, not the legal result. And I think and the result that they think is going to help their group more, I think, which is even more worrisome. Yeah. And I think the other scary part of this is we don't know yet what's going to happen, whether the Democrats are going to have the votes to pass this bill. There's thankfully some people like Senator Manchin of West Virginia, Senator Sinema of Arizona have said, we're Democrats, but we're going to stop this from getting through. Well, great. But the other piece to what's happening here, and this goes right with what Maxine Waters was doing, is this is actually another form of intimidation. Mm-hmm. This is this time we're not trying to intimidate the jury. We're trying to intimidate the judges directly because they know that everyone from Chief Justice Roberts on down to his late colleague Ruth Bader Ginsburg would not want to see the court further politicized in that way. And so they're basically saying to them, hey, if you don't want us to go down this road, give us what we want. On the threat. Court as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a total threat. Well, you're doing great work at the Judicial Network. Keep it up. Carrie Severino, follow her on Twitter, at JCN Severino. Follow the work of the Judicial Network by following them, at Judicial Network. And keep up the great work. We need strong courts, and your organization is doing everything they can to keep it that way. Carrie, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, Kevin McCullough, we've got a lot more yet to come on the show. Carol Markowitz joins us next, and a little bit later, we are going to talk technology. Don't go away.
Hey, everyone, it's Debbie Biskey from the Bridge Women's Center, and I am super excited for our second annual gala on May 13th at the Meadowood in Randolph, New Jersey. The state of New Jersey is opening up more and more, and we anticipate additional capacity will be opened up as we get closer to the event. Our keynote speaker is Governor Mike Huckabee, a huge pro-life advocate. So join us to celebrate life and help support our pro-life mission to raise funds for our second mobile unit. You don't want to miss the event, so go buy your tickets at bridgewomencenter.com, and I'll see you on May 13th.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. The Bridge Women's Center gives support to women and families with unintended pregnancies. They also provide support after birth and counseling. Be sure to attend the Women's Gala on May 13th to support the Bridge Women's Center and buy tickets to the benefit. COVID guidelines will be followed. Go to bridgewomencenter.com. That's bridgewomencenter.com.
Hi, this is Kevin Cottrell. When you walk into Samson Funeral Service, you feel the comfort in the air. Samson Funeral Service is different than any other funeral home.
Hello, WMCA listeners. I'm Ernest A. Samson III. The loss of a loved one can leave you with lots of unanswered questions, feelings of stress and anxiety and grief. We will guide you through the funeral process with compassion, dignity, and respect. You can call on us any day, anytime. We will take care of you every step of the way, from funeral arrangements to the service and to grief counseling referrals if needed. It is my commitment to reassure you in your time of need that we are more than a funeral home. We are hope and help for you.
Samson Funeral Service is located in Brooklyn at 2601 Pitkin Avenue. Call 718-277-8000 to make arrangements. That's 718-277-8000. Samson Funeral, where the legacy continues.
AM 570 and 102.3 FM, The Mission, WMCA. Listen online at WMCA.com, tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
If you're in HR, you're probably wearing a lot of hats. Recruiter, team builder, trainer, mediator, policymaker, and of course, paper pusher. But not anymore. Bamboo HR is the number one HR software for small and medium businesses. It manages all your employee data easily and automates countless tasks so you can focus on people, not paperwork. Bamboo HR frees you from spreadsheets so you can do your real job, creating a great place to work. If the data shuffle and paperwork mountain have you ready to hang up all your hats, you're ready for Bamboo. If you handle HR records and paperwork, Bamboo HR is a dream. Let us free up your time and put your days of pushing paperwork behind you so you can focus on the people and making your company a great place to work for everyone. Try PC Magazine's top pick for HR software free today. Just go to bamboohr.com/HR. This is a limited offer, only available to radio listeners at bamboohr.com/HR. That's bamboohr.com/HR.
Join Alistair Begg, Laura Story, and Michael O'Brien on the Deeper Faith Alaska Cruise this August.
Hello, I'm Alistair Begg, and I'm excited to tell you that I'll be joining my friends at Salem Media Group to host a cruise to Alaska, and I'm hoping that you can join me. Alaska, as you know, is filled with glaciers, rugged mountains, and wildlife, a land where God's design and majesty are constantly on display. If you've ever dreamed of exploring this amazing place, Now's your opportunity, especially as we'll experience the wonders of Alaska in a community of other believers, and this from the comfort of our first-class ship. The week will be enhanced as my friends Laura Story and Michael O'Brien lead us in worship, and as together we look at God's Word for both challenge and inspiration.
Join Salem Media Group and our trusted partner Inspiration Cruises and Tours this summer. Sign up now, 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Or log on to deeperfaithcruise.com.
Meet Skip, senior pastor at Sand Hills Neighborhood Church.
I told you, if we broke attendance records, I'd get the church logo tattooed on my arm.
And meet Guy, the youth pastor trying to break through the noise.
I just want the church to get back to the gospel. Problem is, you're trying to get your message across.
The gospel.
Right. And ain't nobody listening to that.
But this mega church.
A Good Friday and Easter. I need something big.
Has one mega problem.
Bigger than the resurrection.
Bigger than anything we've ever done. National headlines.
Preach on the death and resurrection of Jesus.
An actual crucifixion.
This Easter, ask yourself, is the gospel enough with this hilarious new comedy?
Operation Stop Skip is a go. That's awesome.
Church People, starring Thor Ramsey and Stephen Baldwin.
Amen.
Stream it on your TV, tablet, or phone. Go to salemnow.com for details. Salemnow.com.
Use promo code WMCA for additional savings. When you need a lawyer you can trust, call the law offices of Dan Buttafuoco and Associates. Call 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Coming up in the next segment, we will check in with the guy who wants to be the next mayor of New York City, Curtis Sliwa. Is New York prepared for life past the Chauvin trial? Are we ready? What if the violence spills across the nation as it did a year ago when the George Floyd incident occurred? We will talk with him about all of those things coming up. And thanks to Carrie Severino, who was just with us on the issue of whether or not Maxine Waters did or did not jury tamper. We will yet to see if how that turns out. But there's something else that's important to cover today, and I'm so glad to have Carol Markowitz back with us. She's a columnist for The New York Post. And Carol, today, Stanley Kurtz in the National Review, big article, long, lengthy piece about how the Biden administration is set to make critical race theory, commonly referred to as CRT, a new carrot dangled in front of school districts and in essence forcing them to accept it and to teach it because they are going to withhold federal monies from the local districts if they choose not to. Your reaction as a mom and as a New Yorker?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I would say that parents have been remarkably quiet on this. I would like to see parents all across the board start to push back on this. And I think we're seeing the beginning of that. Barry Weiss has published a dad at a very big private school in Manhattan. And then she also published a teacher at a private school, a different private school in Manhattan, talking about critical race theory being taught to their kids and how white people are the worst and how you must feel all kinds of shame for being white. And so we are starting to see that in that realm because these people are paying $50,000 a year and they don't want their kids being told that they're inherently evil because of their race. But I would love to see this move to public schools. And I think that that is really where the fight should be for conservatives. Like these private schools are going to work themselves out. They're going to lose people applying. It's all going to be, a problem for their bottom line. But for public schools, I think conservatives just aren't saying enough. They're not motivating parents to say, I will not stand for this. I will show up to your, PTA meetings. I will show up to your school board meetings. I will say that this is not acceptable because everybody's so afraid of being called racist. But CRT is racist. It is inherently racist to say that the color you were born dictates how you'll be treated by other people. And I think, it should not be that hard of a pushback. And I think conservatives really need to get on it.
Well, it's going to be even less popular if Biden pushes through with this, because obviously when you attach money to incentives, particularly the kinds of money that they're talking about, which are billions and billions of dollars, it's going to become an economic and a public opinion issue. And the public opinion usually loses against the dollars, in my experience.
Right. Well, so what I would say to that is the people who don't want CRT taught in their schools should send the message to their schools loud and clear. If you accept this money, if you push this curriculum, we will pull our kids out. I mean, there is a way to vote with your feet. And I think we've seen that through the last year with the pandemic. I think people have really noticed that they can make changes in their lives. And I know that that isn't for everybody, and I get that. But if enough people do it, enough people threaten to do it, it becomes a real thing. I think, for example, in New York right now, they saw a 21% drop in kindergarten applications for next year. That means people left. And I think that we're going to see that in a lot of other ways as well.
Doesn't that also mean that that's 21% of population that they don't get reimbursed tax dollars for?
Well, you'd think, right? But then the Biden administration's making money rain on these schools, that it will cover up that problem for at least a little while. So, you know,
so they could skate for a year or two.
They should be worried.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
if they play their cards right, they could skate for even longer. But they, you know, likely will hire, for example, CRT advisors and pay them millions of dollars, and that money will go pretty quickly.
Speaking of education, that is the focus of your most recent New York Post column. You said another day, another Gotham schooling disaster. What happened, Carol?
Yeah. So the New York City schools were finally, you know, a month ago, the CDC announced that their rule of 6 feet in classrooms can now be 3 feet. But, you know, it's been a month and New York City schools still haven't made the change. And they were finally set to announce the changes on Friday, that they were end of April, beginning of May, still far off into the distance, going to make the changes. But Friday, a lot of principals said that they were told to hold off on this, and that the union and the DOE have still not reached a deal on the 3 foot thing. It is absurd. I don't know how parents are not in the streets. I really don't. I don't understand how it isn't the largest outcry of the year. Schools remain closed. You know, when I first started writing about opening schools, and I addressed this in the piece, I was writing for the whole country. I was writing for school districts all across the country.
Right.
Now I'm writing for just a few deformed, morally bankrupt, completely anti-science school districts that have still not opened their doors. Or, you know, I take a shot at suburban New Jersey, where they're open every day, but they're only open till like noon, which is also, to me, not enough. So I want all of these school districts to open full time, open right now. Enough of this.
Well, and I know that many suburban moms, geography regardless, are of concern of the same way. And I got to say, you know, I don't have as much to complain about, because we did have more or less open schools. Yes, they were half days, but we had it much better in our district than a lot of people across the tri-state area. I cannot even begin to fathom why New York City families are putting up with it to the degree that they have, because it's, you know, and like you said, we're on a continuum. We don't have the full day yet, but we're getting closer to that. We actually have integrated all of the A and B hybrid schedules. So we've put, if one class was divided into two different quorums, they have been put back together now, and they're together for five full days, or five days currently, just, you know, until noon, eight to noon. But it's going to take some more to get there. I'm hopeful that ours will be a district that does it by the fall. I'm hopeful that we'll be there by the fall. If they're not, I think we're going to have much bigger things to discuss, because I don't think these moms are going to put up with it anymore.
I hope so. I mean, the thing is that schools are open full time across the country in most districts. I mean, they're doing it. They're just doing it. And I think that reinventing the wheel that we're doing on the East Coast is really what leads to this problem. Like, stop with the 6 feet.
Especially when you consider that New Jersey, and New York were the abject worst in how we handled the entire pandemic.
Right.
Everything we did was wrong.
Absolutely. That's, you know, absolutely should be part of our thinking of it. We should follow the places that did it right.
And because Florida and Texas in particular have mm-hmm. relented on their mask mandates completely, and we haven't seen the big outbreak that people have. What's been the response? Isn't the CDC paying attention to the open places and saying, well, wait a minute, what's going on there?
You know, I love to point out that the CDC says that you cannot eat your burger, anything under well done. So take everything CDC says as less of like law, as more like a loose guideline. They also don't think you should eat your steak, you know, under medium. You should definitely not eat cookie dough. This is not, you know, they're not God. And I feel like people don't realize that. So outdoor mask mandates, they should be lifted a long time ago. I think we need to just start, you know, especially if you're vaccinated, wear your, don't wear your mask outside. Send a message. That's it.
Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Carol Markowitz, reader in the Post every week. Hey, Carol, thanks for your thoughts today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Kevin.
All right. Kevin McCullough, when we continue, Curtis Lee was running for mayor of New York. He wants to earn your vote. What's his primary issue? Safety. Crime. Here in the Big Apple. We'll talk to him next. Kevin McCullough, stay with us.
This year, nearly 22,000 American women will be diagnosed with ovarian cancer, and another 14,000 will die. Even worse, 10% of these deaths will be linked to a product that is found in nearly everyone's medicine cabinet. Hey ladies, this is Liz Black, and I need to tell you about a common household product that is killing innocent women. Talcum powder. For decades, studies show that talcum contains asbestos, a known cancer-causing agent. Yet, companies like Johnson & Johnson unconscionably sell this dangerous product. This May, after being conclusively linked to deadly ovarian cancer, mesothelioma, and fallopian cancer, talcum powder was finally pulled from shelves. If you or a loved one received a cancer diagnosis after using talcum powder at any point, call Butterfuco & Associates today at 1-800-NOW-HURT. Butterfuco & Associates is helping clients recover significant damages. If you think your cancer may have been caused by talcum powder, call today, 1-800-NOW-HURT. That's 1-800-NOW-HURT.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. If you could save money on your mortgage payment and put more money into your pocket, wouldn't that make sense? Now is the perfect time to call my very good friends, Mike and Brian, at Fellowship Home Loans. Home values are up. The housing market is strong. Interest rates are low, and they're going to stay low. Talk to Mike and Brian about ways you could possibly eliminate PMI, private mortgage insurance, consolidate debt, take cash out for home improvements, and save on your taxes. As a direct lender, you deal directly with the decision makers who will save you the money and guide you every step of the way. And with outstanding customer service reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, you will be amazed by how well you are treated and how simple they make this very complicated process. Call Mike Rakeman and Brian Sheely at Fellowship Home Loans and lock in your low rate today. 800-804-SAVE. That's 800-804-SAVE. Intercontinental Capital Group, DBA, Fellowship Home Loans, Licensed Mortgage Banker, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 60134.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs. And because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-45-BIBLE. That's 844-45-BIBLE, 844-45-BIBLE.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements, and today 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog, and he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. A blue
obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. One of the big stories, politically speaking, of the election cycle of this year, which a lot of people kind of fall asleep on because it's after the presidential year, it's still hugely important. And in a year like this, one of the things that makes it that way is the mayor's race for New York City. And if you live in the tri-state but not in the city, you may say, well, that's New York's problem. We don't really have to deal with it. No, that's not really true. New York is a hub that really opens gateways to every area of North America. And because of what happens in our city, there is a necessity to pay attention to what's happening there and to make sure that we are doing all that we can to get good government there. Well, someone who cares about that is former talk show host, now full-time candidate for mayor, and he's in a primary fight in New York City. He's also a longtime friend. Curtis Sliwa, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Oh, my pleasure, Kev. And it's been, as you said, 24/7, 365 ever since I left the radio and put my total focus on trying to save our city by supporting the police, refunding the police, and a plan to hire even more police. The only candidate running who's even talking about those
things. I want to talk to you about all three of those things, especially in light of what we're expecting out of Minneapolis today. Curtis, last year, New York City paid the price in a very unfair way for violence that was started elsewhere, for bad behavior by a police department that was housed elsewhere. If you were mayor right now today, what would you be preparing the NYPD for in light of what may happen in Minneapolis at some point this week?
Well, having been right in the middle of it myself last June 1st, June 2nd, when this mayor, who single-handedly has taken a Miley Cyrus wrecking ball to New York City and destroyed it, Comrade Bill de Blasio, the part-time mayor, the dope from Park Slope who hates the cops, he rendered them from the most effective police department to one of the most least effective overnight, by telling them to stand down, not to interact or engage the demonstrators, some of whom turned into looters and shooters. As a result of that, we had 48 hours of straight anarchy and mayhem. Well, you got to send out a signal to anyone who thinks they're going to take advantage of whatever the jury decision is, that if you loot, you're going to jail. There's no doubt about it. You're not getting a desk appearance ticket. And most importantly, you have to preemptively get the cops out there where they're visible, where they're clearly showing a sign that they're not going to tolerate the anarchy that we saw last summer. To this moment, none of that has occurred. So if, in fact, people take advantage of whatever the jury decision is, there will be attempts to loot and shoot and rob and vandalize and recreate what the hell that we went through last summer.
Which brings us back to your original point. You're running as a law and order candidate, and your primary number one kind of stated goal is to refund the police department. One of the things I've spent a lot of time talking about on the air, Curtis, is the door kickers, the anti-crime unit, and what happened when we eliminated them or took them out of that position was that you saw an immediate rise in shootings and violent crime across the city. How important is it that we get a mayor who's going to replace the priorities for the NYPD where they need to be?
Well, not only replace the priorities to the NYPD, but be a cheerleader for the NYPD, visit every precinct from Staten Island to Lower Manhattan, shake the hands of the men and women who serve in blue. Let them know we got your back. Go out and do the job you were trained to do. Obviously, if you violate people's rights, this mayor will become your worst nightmare. But other than that, you have to bring safety to the streets, the subways, the parks. If you don't, people are not going to return to New York. They're not going to want to work here. They're not going to want to visit here, spend their money here. So even as bars and restaurants and entertainment complexes begin to slowly open up, if people are afraid to come into the city, whether by day or night, then this city will remain in the state that it is now, the municipality that has had the worst recovery rate of any major city in the United States. And that's something I'm going to undo. I'm going to open this city up, and I got to provide public safety first and foremost for anyone who ventures in Or decides to come in and spend their money here.
Yeah, there's a lot of thinking. Our very good friend John Catsimatidis says it regularly, that the pandemic will really be in our rearview mirror probably before July 4th in terms of what we're having to deal with in terms of a public policy priority. And at that point, the city becomes entirely about security. It's crime and whether people feel safe, and there's really not much more to it.
And a lot of emotionally disturbed persons who were released from psychiatric hospitals by Cuomo and de Blasio, the both of them. And they are unwilling to take them back out of the subways, off the streets, out of the parks, and put them in a mental health care facility where they can be given their meds. That would be the humane thing to do. It's not progressive or liberal, as they claim, to allow these people who are not in control of their mental faculties to roam the streets as a danger to themselves and everyone else. You've got to do that. They're everywhere. And then the unbelievable problem of homeless people who have taken up residence in every nook, cranny, and corner of this city. No, you're going into a shelter. And we're going to make sure that they have programs in a shelter to get them off their drug addictions, their alcohol addictions, so that they can start leading productive lives. None of that is happening nowadays. It's basically warehouse the homeless, allow the emotionally disturbed persons to roam, and thereby you have chaos city, fear city, and that's going to end when I'm mayor.
All right. If you want to help him become mayor, Curtis Sliwa for mayor. Spell it all out. One word. CurtisSliwaForMayor.com is where you can go. You can sign up to volunteer for the campaign. You can give a donation. You can do whatever you can to help take your city back. CurtisSliwaForMayor.com. Curtis, we appreciate it. We'll check in again with you soon.
Appreciate your tactical air support. I got to go out there and get ready for the shooters, the looters, and the rioters, because regardless of the jury decision, they're still going to take this as an opportunity to make some money, as they say.
Yeah. Stay safe, Curtis. Thanks again. Stay with us. Sean, I'm so glad that you listen to the show and that you enjoy what we do on 970. Tell me about your experience with Landmark Capital.
You know, I was very fortunate to have discovered David through your show.
Did you feel pressure in working with Landmark?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, I had said to him, let me take a chance to do some research on this, and he was very confident that the information that he was giving me was verifiable, and I could feel that over the phone.
Did you get your medals in a timely manner?
I did indeed.
Did you get what you ordered?
Yes, I did.
How would you rate the experience overall from 1 to 10, 10 being high?
10, straight across the board.
Call this number, 844-604-2575. Tell them you heard Kevin McCullough talking about it. Tell them you heard Sean on Kevin McCullough's broadcast, and ask for the resources, ask for the information. Get yourself educated and get yourself protected as we go forward. 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
I need to tell you guys about this incredible website I found. It's called nuts.com. Who here doesn't like nuts? Nuts.com has pretty much every nut you could ever want. They have white chocolate toffee cashews, bourbon pecans, crystallized ginger, and honey sesame sticks. Now I know those last couple things weren't nuts, but nuts.com isn't just for nut lovers. It's your one-stop online pantry shop. They've got candies, dried fruits, and pantry items like baking mixes, pastas, and more. Now, I got my first order from Nuts.com the other day, and my family tore through that box. I've never seen food disappear so quickly. Delivery? It's so fast, and most orders ship the same day. New Nuts.com customers get free shipping on your first order at Nuts.com. That's it. Just go to Nuts.com to get free shipping on your first order. That's NUTS.com, nuts.com.
Listen to The Mission WMCA anywhere you go with the AM570 The Mission mobile app. Download on Google Play, iTunes, or listen to TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or radio.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio.
Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I stay easy, oh, oh, oh.
It's happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us on this Tuesday. You know, we always turn to technology on Tuesday and get a little insight on what's going on in the technology universe. Ari Zoldan of Quantum Media is our longtime expert contributor in this field, and he rejoins us. And Ari, welcome back, by the way. Always good to have you. I got to tell you, I was a little surprised this morning. I was up really super early, like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm thumbing through the news stories. And I see in this kind of quiet headline, it didn't make major news, that the Apple App Store is letting Parler back into the fold. Now, what happened there?
Yeah, I was surprised also. I think I had a, you know, I read it, you know,
a double take.
Double take, exactly, just to make sure. But this is a good move, I think, for everyone. You know, Parler's a conservative leaning platform. They were banned on January 9th, and you know, primarily, I mean, you could kind of debate, you know, why they were banned, but I believe it was because of there was a lot of hate speech developing on their platform. But they were able to clean it up, put systems in place, develop algorithms to be able to flag it. And Apple just let them back into their store. So I think it's good all around.
Yeah. So now, friends, if you have missed me on Twitter, because I have been deplatformed there, I had 150,000 followers. They're all gone. But I've got about 24,000 followers over on Parler. And if you want to join me there, it's at KMC Radio on the Parler platform. And you can now get it from the Apple App Store. Any word, Ari, on whether or not the Android app stores are going to follow suit?
There's nothing on that yet, but I mean, I have no doubt if Apple let them in, it's just a question of, you know, I would imagine it's going to be a couple of weeks before you know, Android approves them and lets them in. And again, it's great. I mean, I think, you know, kind of everyone cooperated, everyone had a goal in mind. Congress as well was involved, and they were able to accomplish their goal. They did say something interesting, is that they're not going to be dependent on big tech anymore to be able to dictate the direction of the company, and certainly, at least on the technological side, to be able to shut them down anymore. So I thought that was an interesting piece of news as well.
Well, one of the very interesting things that's happened in the technology space over the last 2 days is that Mike Lindell, Mr. MyPillow, has launched his social media platform called frankspeech.com. And Ari, talk about a new paradigm. He owns the servers, the hosting services, the farm where the servers are kept. There is nothing outside of his, control, so to speak. Now, they did get hacked on the first day, and they were hacked for hours and hours and hours. And to this point, even on this day, I don't know if they're fully up to speed yet. But it is interesting to see how, with just a little bit of crisis in the big tech arena, entrepreneurialism kicked in and people said, well, let's just make our own alternatives to what Twitter is and went for it. So it'll be interesting to see. But I think this all bodes well. I think the more free speech that you have across more platforms and more people competing for those eyeballs, the better the industry is.
Yeah, and 100%, Kevin. And I think it's going to do, I think Mike's platform is going to do well. And I think it's also going to set a precedent as to how other companies are going to follow suit. You know, big tech was never called big tech, right? I mean, these were all people that started in their garage, started in their bedroom or their garage, and ended up becoming large corporations. But you know, what happened was, you know, they became so large, and, you know, the big four, the big five companies, the Amazons, the Microsoft, the Facebooks, Googles of the world, end up controlling, you know, probably 80% of the world's data. So we're seeing a pendulum swing now the other way, where people, you know, don't want to be reliant on Amazon Web Services. So I think I think things are definitely headed in the right direction.
Well, and I kind of prefer, like, government not having to come in and bust up Twitter or Facebook. I would rather the market do that. Like, if people think Twitter's too big and they think that they can do something better, I'd much rather see a free market self-correction of an industry than having and forcing the government to come in and say, we're going to break you up like the phone company.
I agree. I mean, 100%. And I remember, you know, all the telecoms, great, you know, breaking into the baby belts. But correct. I mean, it should be capitalism at its best. We don't need I do believe we need some regulation, but the American dream is somebody starting in their garage and building a behemoth of a company. Right. I mean, you know, why,
or in your pillow factory, whichever way it works.
Exactly. And then why should the government? It's true. Why should the government come ahead and say, no, you know, we're putting a cap on how high you can grow. Yeah. So we're on the same page.
Hey, what's this other story today about Facebook and audio that CNN has out?
So this is a new medium. We heard about Clubhouse, and it's continuing to grow. It's basically an audio platform wrapped in a social media network, which is really cool. It kind of falls in the realm of a podcast, but you're able to share and create rooms on an audio platform. So companies called Clubhouse. I believe it's still invite only, but they're going to start opening up to the general public. And now Facebook is eyeing it and saying, hey, wait, this is another opportunity to be able to build social communities just around audio clips and audio files. So it's definitely a sector to watch. And I think it's fascinating. You know, we went from text, we went from email to text to WhatsApp to video. We're now moving into the audio space. And I don't think that anybody would have thought that audio, aside from radio and podcasts, would have been a sustainable model. But it seems like it's doing really well.
I think it's probably just women that are using it. You know why? Because they don't want to have to put their face on to do the video stuff anymore. You know how many people will ask me, I'm going to do a meeting with you at 10:30, but do we have to have the video camera turned on? Because I don't want to get ready. And I'm like, I get it. So if you have the audio only version, then whoever is, and I've been saying women, but it could be anybody. If you got, if you don't want to have to, you know, get prepped and look nice on camera, an audio only platform works very nicely for you.
It's great, and they make it so friendly, and I think it's I think it's going to be great. I mean, we saw the emergence of podcasts now, and something that we're calling the creator's economy, right? Which is amazing. These are how influencers are built. You have access to internet and a voice and an opinion. You could build a community for yourself and hopefully be able to monetize it.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be interesting. We'll be watching that in the days and weeks to come. Ari Zoldan, always appreciate your insight on Tech Tuesday. Thank you again, as always.
Thank you, Kevin.
All right. When we come back, friends, I've got one more thing to get to today, and it is an important one. It has to do with the types of projectiles the protesters are using outside of Minneapolis to attack the police with. It's not what you would expect. A can of soup? Yeah, stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough coming right back.
Hey, everybody. Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. In fact, over 1 million homeowners took advantage of refinancing or buying a new home with Rocket Mortgage. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase again, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. With an official mortgage review from Rocket Mortgage, you'll see just how much money you could save by making a move right now. Don't look back over these next few weeks and wish that you had taken action. You could save hundreds on your mortgage payments or pay off your home loan earlier than planned. You could even take cash out of your home to pay off high interest debt, complete home repairs, or bulk up on an emergency fund. When you want to secure a low rate, Rocket can. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop just by making the best pillow, which he did. Now Mike has gone and done it again. Introducing My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these slippers. They are designed to wear indoor and out all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, they are also made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you'll want to get some for the whole family. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA. Or go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, and use promo code WMCA. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, my personal favorite, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 1-800-651-0798 and use the promo code WMCA.
Download the AM570 The Mission mobile app on iTunes, Google Play, or listen on WMCA.com, TuneIn, iHeart, Alexa, or Radio.com.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, coming to you live from the Connors and Sullivan Broadcast Studio. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us every single day. You know that the violence in the aftermath of the George Floyd shooting or death last year, he wasn't shot, was one of the worst time bombs that went off. Sadly, some of the people that are in those riots now, causing the disruption in Minneapolis, in the midst of the Maxine Waters, we're going to stay out here and be more confrontational. Sadly, they've adopted some new methodologies, like throwing cans of soup at the police and the National Guard, trying to provide protection for the people.
Tiger, you have been out here. Have you been out here the last couple of days?
Yeah. Well, I've been here all four nights. I'm just standing here today with soup for my family.
And then they have cans of soup. And they throw the cans of soup. That's better than a brick because you can't throw a brick. It's too heavy. But a can of soup, you can really put some power into that, right? And if it hits you, that's worse than a brick because it's got force. It's the perfect size. It's like made perfect. And when they get caught, they say, no, this is just soup for my family.
And we're just, you know, watching all of this unfold. It's very unfortunate.
You're not planning on using that, are you, throwing it at the police?
Like I said, it's for my family.
Literally for your family.
Yeah.
All right.
And then the media says, this is just soup. These people are very, very innocent. They're innocent people. These are just protesters.
Well, Trump stokes fear with bizarre stories about mysterious people on a plane emerging from the dark shadows, preying on the defenseless masses with bags of soup.
Whoa, cans of soup, thugs on airplanes wearing black uniforms, people you've never heard of who were in the dark shadows. It's all from our president. He's just got these ideas.
I'm just standing here today with soup for my family.
Bags of soup
for my family.
All right. That was an actual bit of tape from CNN that actually got one of the protesters who showed his can of soup to the camera. Now, picture the thought and place here. The guy is standing with the riot going on behind him, the protest. And he holds up the can of soup and says, I have a can of soup for my family, and winks at the camera. I don't think that the police find that interesting or funny or cute or humorous or anything else. And morally speaking, neither should anybody else. Because the idea that these individuals, regardless of the color of their skin, can throw those types of projectiles at people whose job it is to just be there to protect the innocent is really foul. But that's where we're living. That's the day in which we live in. I don't get my way, I'll throw a can of soup at your head. And you'll know that I was unhappy. That's where we're at, friends. That's the unregenerated world that we live in. Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.